Hey everyone, before we get into it today, if you've ever thought about starting your own podcast or taking your current one to the next level, you have to check out Podigy Podcast. They didn't just help us launch this show, which we need a lot of help with. They made it look and sound amazing with custom artwork, killer music, and they guided us through the launching of the show step by step. Now they handle everything for us, editing, producing, you name it. All we do is hit record and they do the rest. Trust me. If you're serious about podcasting, you need them in your corner. Click the link in the show notes to schedule a free one-on-one podcast game plan session with them. You won't be sorry. Welcome to the Path Podcast, the podcast that provides transformative insights for authentic success. My name is Chris Weiss, and together with my partners, Stuart Ferguson and Toby Quinton, we make up True Path Consulting, where our mission is to maximize executive performance and drive personal growth by guiding leaders on a journey of self-fulfillment and true success. I want to thank you for pressing play on whatever device you're listening to us on today. It means a ton to us that you are here. Our hope is that through our stories and interviews, you will find something in yourself, something that moves you to get curious and possibly something that triggers you to take action in your life. You see, our goal in this podcast and in our coaching partnerships is to help people find their ideal selves without needing that motivation of that personal or professional crisis. We'll bring up topics and curate discussions that will help you take action to find out who you're showing up as in the roles that you play in your life and the roles that are a priority in your life, ultimately helping you paint the picture of who you want to be and walking with you to figure out what the heck's getting in your way from becoming your ideal self. We only get one shot at this awesome thing called life, so let's stop being okay with being miserably comfortable and instead be more intentional in following a path of meaning and purpose. With that being said, I'd like to more formally introduce and welcome my partners that are going to go on this journey with us. Toby Quinton, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. Stu and Chris, good to see you guys. I had a moment. I was traveling last week and doing a team session, and my boys, when I got home this weekend, we were chatting and they were sharing some things about older people. And I think they were trying to be very kind with me. I'm like, you know, what people of my generation tend to do more than not. And I was laughing my ass off because one of it was old people like you, Dad, talk about the weather all the time. And I'm like, oh, my God, I totally do that all the time. And living where I do, as you guys know, I mean, it's a good joke always of like how hot is hot for you today. But I literally open a lot of these conversations individually and with teams of, hey, so how's the weather over there? And I'm like, oh, I've officially become my parents. And it's happened in front of my face. So I'm glad that and ironically enough, we're talking about self-awareness today, but like, I'm glad my boys brought it to me of like, hey, Dad, you talk about weather a lot and you know, that's what old people do. So anyway, I'm not going to say how warm it is here where I am, but it's just it's good to see you guys. And I had a laugh this weekend I wanted to start off with, but I'm excited for our topic today.
Do they call you an old head yet? Because I get called an old head. That's my kid's nickname for old people. Old head.
Yeah, my kids are so trained in passive aggressive that they just kind of shake their head and roll their eyes. So there's not a lot of communication, and that's, they say a billion things and not say a word. So they're skilled.
Nice, man. Stu, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I love that, Tobe. I forget what insurance company it is where they have the class about people that are acting like their parents. And that example of, hey, we got to park by the exit at a concert, or that is me. I'm like, if we get out, we can. And my wife's like, are you kidding me? Can we just, we haven't even gone to the game yet. And you're already figuring out how to leave. Oh, that's good stuff. I'm good, gentlemen. I took on some landscaping over the weekend and it won. I lost and the landscaping won. In fact, if I look out this beautiful window, I'm still looking at a half done backyard. So as soon as we wrap this up, I'm going to go put on the overalls and go finish. I learned that you can't burn a stump, okay, if it's not dead. Okay, so it's a green, I cut down a log, so it's still there. Now I got to go get a pickaxe and try to get it out. So the joys of manual labor, which I don't necessarily hate or love. But that's my plan.
I still can't get the picture of you with overalls on. in the back. You know, say,
like, you're getting a t-shirt.
Thanks for not wearing these to the call today. That's the best part like, about this call so far.
You have no idea what I'm wearing below this camera. Right? Keep your mind.
I won't be able to get that picture out of my head the rest of the day. Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah, we're recording actually on Labor Day. So there's we have a 3-day week. And I got my kids have they play soccer. So we have the whole varsity team coming over. There's a game the night before any home game. We host all the senior parents host pasta dinners. So unfortunately, none of the pasta places that we usually go to are open on Labor Day. So I was cooking, 7 pounds of pasta this morning and making baked pasta ziti or some recipe that my wife sent to me. So I've been doing that. And then I got, after these, I got 26 kids showing up at my house and who knows, we got the pool open. So it should be a fun time. Should be good for that. But I'm excited for this conversation today. So good to see you both. Toby actually brought it up. One of the things that we're going to talk about today, the thing that we're going to talk about today is self-awareness and how important that is. And one of the things that we do, the first thing that we do in our coaching practice really is just to try to identify when we're working with someone or someone has interest in us, the first phase, if you will, of that relationship is around, hey, how well do you really know yourself? And like really know yourself. And we talk a lot about groundedness. You've probably heard us talking about groundedness. There's a moment of that to get really grounded with our clients. To ask them that question. And a lot of times we'll go through and Toby's taught me this, like they'll, oh yeah, I know myself. I know my who I am and who I want to be and all this other stuff. And then when you really start peeling back the layers, they're usually shocked about how much they don't know themselves or how much they want to know themselves, but aren't following the path of who they really want to be. And then that's ultimately where we get into, right? We remove the obstacles like, hey, who are you? Who do you want to be and what's getting in the way? But self-awareness is a huge journey that I've personally been on, throughout my relationship with Toby and previous coaches, therapists as well, just to really identify who I am and who I want to be. There was always a little bit of being in corporate America. There was always a little bit of just not feeling myself, you know, going to college as a counseling major and wanting to be in some sort of counseling role and helping people and then getting into business and making money and following a completely different path that I tended not to believe I was on. I was always searching for like, who the hell am I? And just something wasn't always connecting. And Toby's helped me a lot. So we'll talk a little bit about that today, but I wanted to walk that in just about like the concept of self-awareness. And Tobe, I'll welcome you into the conversation. Just what are you seeing with clients out there when it comes to, or just people, it doesn't have to be our clients, as in regards to self-awareness?
Yeah, you hit it, Chris. And it's thanks for opening up the way you did, because I love the personal touch. I mean, I've been able to sit side saddle with you on your own personal journey of that self-discovery, you know, and I think it's such a, I hear a lot of people talk about it. And I just don't know that many of us are actually doing the work in the spirit of that, you know. And I think it is it's an interesting concept of, you know, understanding oneself and is there a finish line to that? And everybody wants to kind of get all buttoned up and, hey, I know myself. And I think the three of us would agree immediately that this is a lifelong journey with no end. The key, though, is that, you know, can we emphasize, can we make it important the understanding of ourselves? And I think that, I think as I'm walking in this topic, I think one of the reasons we don't do that, I usually like to start with why, what the benefits are of it. But sometimes the reason that we don't do that is, we don't really want to, you know, maybe cop to that, we don't know ourselves very well, or that the very fears that we have about who we are, aren't realized. You know, that we're not, just a, you know, 2.0 versions of a parent, you know, a coach that we had growing up or something like that, that we don't, as leaders in the family and at corporate world, that we haven't just replicated a lot of those environmental, kind of conditions, if you will, but more importantly, those behaviors that we took on. So, you know, sometimes it's that fear of like, oh my gosh, if I start down this road of self-discovery, what will I find? And I, you know, I know the three of us are spot on with this, and it's ultimately the work I think that we all do is, which is to try to help people also define what that ideal state would be, that state that, you know, if you discover who you are and then you can then start with building that who you want to be, if you will. But it has to start with what's true. And it gets back to some of our other podcasts and whatnot, that everything worthwhile starts with truth, and truth can be sometimes hard to cop to come to, and all of those. And I think this self-discovery, that journey requires that, but it doesn't make it very easy. So there's a lot of benefits to it, and I know we'll hit on that, but I think this, just from my experiences so far, I think it's a concept that's not unique to anybody, but it has a lot of pieces to it. And I think that's the reason, obviously, that we've decided to tackle this one for this call.
Yeah, that's great, Tob. And Chris, I love the way you walked it in. For me, you know, I go back to a time I served in the Navy, and I was on a ship called the USS Seattle, and I met my ship out in Italy when I left boot camp. And when you join the ship, you walk on board, there's somebody that greets you and then walks you to your bunk and kind of becomes your kind of, you know, greeter, or more importantly, someone that helps you navigate and transition onto the ship. And this gentleman seemed to me at that time to be 107 years old. I mean, he just looked like he had been in the Navy, literally was born, smoked cigarettes the day he was born, and then smoked all the way until the day I met him. He was an old timer. And I can remember spending the day with him, and I was, you know, at first I was kind of nervous, and then I started to understand that there was a lot of wisdom in this man. Flash forward about 6 months later, we were deployed out to sea, and we were coming back into port, and all of us were going out to have a few drinks together, and I got the opportunity to just sit with him. And I remember asking him the question, and it was, you know, a drunk kind of silly young question, but it was, you know, what is your purpose to this old timer? And he sat very quietly and he said that, "I'm curious about who I am, and I'm curious about the impact I can make." And at 18 or 19 years old, you know, seeing a rough kind of Navy guy have that kind of introspection, it just set me down this curiosity, and it had an impact on me that here's someone that's whole life is being designed for them in the military. But yet at his quietest hours, it was about reflection of himself and the power of that. And so, you know, at 19, I don't think it had that profound of an impact, but I always was curious about those two questions that he asked. And so, you know, I've always been curious about self-awareness and about who I am and where I'm going. But I got to be honest, a couple of things would come up for me. Like one of them, there was a period of time where I felt incredibly selfish prioritizing myself. Like what that really meant was focusing more of my time and my energy inward than outward. And, you know, with young kids and a wife and family and friends and all of that, you know, I just really struggled with that feeling of this is selfish, and you're, you know, maybe you don't deserve, or more importantly, have earned that time to make it about you. Have you guys ever felt that or ever bumped into that guilt component? I definitely went through it the last 6 months, really being selfish with my time, but it was intentional, and I had great support from the people that loved me, but I battled that guilt a little bit.
Yeah, Stu, I did, man. But it was weird. I had to jump into like the selfish, like I used to run marathons. I still say I do, but I haven't looked up. But like, I'd go out for 2 hour runs, and I, you know, as I look back, that was a lot of like just me coping. Like that was my escape, right? So like that was just to get me back to even. And, you know, so it was definitely selfish, but I knew like something inside wasn't right. And yep. I knew one of my buddies, you say, well, anybody that runs that far is running from something. Yep. And I laughed, and I'm like, and to your point, Tobe, like, I'm like, I know myself. Like I'm doing this cause I like it. I'm doing it cause it. And now that I look back on that part of my life, like there was definitely something I was running from. Absolutely. Cause I was running to get back to even and get grounded and just make me feel good about something in my life, right? That I was doing myself. And because I just didn't feel right about how my life was shaping up, you know, and some of the decisions I made, like from a career standpoint, just like who I was being, you know? And so, yeah, man, I think it showed up for me being selfish in that moment, but almost as like, I had to be, yeah. It was like a coping mechanism more than anything. But it did come back to it was a coping mechanism because I was so aware that like something was wrong, that I wasn't happy and I wasn't where I needed to be or on the path that I needed to be. And it took me a long time to get on the path that I'm on now. And there was a lot of feelings and a lot of conversations with Tobe about just not
just feeling stuck and brought it up in another podcast, just didn't feel like I could make those decisions that I wanted to make to get on the path that I was going on. So for me, yeah, there was a lot of those moments just to, yeah, I had to just in survival mode. I had to make it about me.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, Stu, you're right. And Chris, great. The guilt, right? And I love that we're using the word selfish, and it's a word that I, in coaching, used against people all the time. And I say that against people kind of tongue in cheek of, I need you to walk away and where will you be selfish? You know, or where do you intend to take this and really act more selfish? And to try to change the whole thought process with regards to that word, like, it does require us self-discovery. Self is inside of self-discovery, you know? So what part are we going to cop to or own, if you will, of that moment in time where we are going to put some deposits in ourselves? And there is guilt in that, because if you're putting time to yourself, you're not putting it to others. And most leaders, again, who's this about? Well, it's about the people I lead. It actually isn't. It's about you and them. So it's a combination of the two. And when you decide that you'll get to you after, which is typical, right? Like, I'll do this after the to-do list of all the people that I need to spend time with and encourage and coach and hold accountable and this, that, and the other. And both of you had full plates from a leadership perspective of all these items you needed to get to and people you need to get to. And, you know, Chris, where's your point? And Stu, where is your moment for you? And it's like, well, you know, this weekend, if I can get it, you know, and that just doesn't happen. So again, how do we get people to, you know, the concept is not new, but to slow down and to do that. And I think the two of you, I know firsthand, have done that very, very thing. And, you know, that point that you made, Chris, about, you know, I had to do it. I think what a beautiful place we could, if we could find that place of helping people before that have to moment, you know, that moment of, I'm so fatigued, or I'm so overwhelmed, or I'm feeling so a level of insecurity, or feeling really, I keep getting feedback and I don't understand why this is, you know, people are perceiving me or receiving me in ways that are not who I want to be. I think those are all things that, you know, you've got good people around you that are care enough to give you that, or structurally it's set that way. How do we get you to invest before that? Is really our work as coaches, and not our work to do the work, but to help continue to reframe. Hey, what do you think some of the choices might be for you in this space, and what would it require? And it certainly does start with, I've got to be truthful about where I'm at and who I am. And that's a big, big piece. You know, I think a lot of people aspirationally think they're certain people, but it's like, all right, I love the aspirational piece to it, and I love that you're working towards that, but who are you really? And then there's another group that I've shared with you guys before in this, you know, decades of coaching. Hey, how well do you know yourself? Oh, I know myself really well. All right. Well, great. Well, let's start kind of walking through the process and the conversation. And as we do, I ask questions that are not difficult. You get it, but you understand how they can be hard to handle. Hey, why do you think you do that? I don't know. Why do you think you do that? I have no idea. Have you ever thought to ask why you do that? No, I really don't understand where that might come from. And it just, again, it's not I gotcha. It's just a matter of, like, again, they believe they're self-aware, but they're not curious of asking some of their questions. And inside of that is a lot of things, but it's an interesting thing to watch as a coach, but then also try to just remain like, okay, so let's go back and reframe this from a point of view of, again, what I want them to do is just become motivated to do the work.
It's funny you bring that up, Tobe. I've got a client that I'm talking to that's going through a good amount of career change. And he gave me a quote the other day when we were kind of challenging some of that self-awareness, or really I was pushing a little bit to figure out how well they understood themselves in this moment. And their answer to me was that this is just the way I am. This is just who I am. And what that said to me was kind of like, hey man, I'm about as curious as I need to be right now about myself, right? This is who I am. This is how I plan to be. And I'm, you know, I bump into that. I've run into that a handful of times, and certainly as an executive and as a leader. And really what it comes down to, and what I'm curious on what you guys find when you bump into that, because, you know, I have that even at some level with my children as they are growing up, and dad's influence or dad's advice is kind of like, hey, I got this. I know where I'm at. I know what I need to do. But that idea of that blocked individual that may not be aware of those impacts that they're making to the people around them, right? And the ripple effects of those. And what you said, Toby, is so good, is like, you know, what ripple am I creating? And am I even aware that there's a ripple out there? Like, there are so many leaders that I've worked with in the past and just friends that would have no idea of the impact, either positive or negatively. And more often than not, the leader actually didn't pay attention to the positive impacts that they were making on people, more focused on the negative. And that lack of awareness is just one of those people you want to grab and shake a little bit and just say, if you could only see who you are and what you, you know, the impact. And so again, I guess my point to that is how we navigate people that maybe have that closed perception of themselves or lack of depth of understanding of who they are and why they are. How do we navigate that, or how do we bump into that? How would you navigate it? Weiss, what are you thinking?
Oh, no. When people say that, it's a little bit of a trigger for me, because I want to like just be like, well, is that who you want to be?
Yep.
You know, like it's just such a cop out.
I go right to physical.
Yeah. Like,
right. The coach goes out.
It's easy.
Bouncer shows up.
Yeah. Well, it's just an easy out. Like, well, it's just who I am. You got to deal with me. And it's like, all right, I guess that's the way to look at it. Like, okay. And there's some truth in that. And if you're comfortable with that's who you are, and you're comfortable with that's who you want to be and how you want to show up, then God bless you. Like you're, cause there's a component of that where it's like, then I have a little bit of admiration in them that they
right.
are comfortable in that moment and are comfortable with how they're showing up, and they really just don't give a shit. And it's like, dude, that's kind of how I want to be, you know, not worrying about what other people think of me and fear of other people's opinions and all that other stuff. But, you know, there's still some work to be done there for me. But, you know, I think there's just that subsequent question is, well, is that who you want to be? Yeah. No, I'm just this way. And it's like, all right, that's cool. But if that's not how you want to be, then let's talk about that. And then to go back to Toby's point, like, why are you that way? Why are you, you know, why are you showing up like that? And that is the work. Like that's the hard work, Tobe. And I feel bad for Toby being my coach sometimes, because I mean, that's the stuff that just, it stumped me. Mm-hmm. It is. It stumped me a lot of times, because I was showing up a certain way, and I, you know, take my ball and go home a lot when I didn't get my way. And that had to do with, you know, that fear of eventually you're going to abandon me, you know, eventually. And I'd rather abandon you, and I'd rather abandon this moment and be in control. It's easier versus you leaving me like everybody else has. So yeah, it's a little bit of a trigger for me when people say that, but you know, the ones that are just like really good with it and are okay with it. And it's like, that's when I, like I said, I have a little bit of admiration for it. But Tobe, I'm interested in your thoughts there, man.
Yeah, Stu, it's a tremendous point, Chris. You know, I'm glad that you said what you did. Doesn't it just get us guys to that? And I know it's a big topic, that fixed and growth mindset, but it just puts the spotlight on when somebody says, this is just the way I am because that's the way I was raised, or that's the, you know, that's, it just is who I am. It's so closed. It literally is. That is just what it is. And as coaches, when you're confronted with that, because I know you two very, very well, that's not how you operate, and you looking for opportunities for growth and to push yourselves out of this. And again, to your point, Chris, none of us on this call are perfect at it, but we have the mindset of, how do I learn? How do I continue to grow from that? And just to put the, you know, as coaches, to put the mirror back on. So you're saying that it is who I am, who I am, you know, the old Popeye reference. And it's like, and how's that working for you? What's the cost? What's the gain? And how does that support where you said you want to work with regards to self-discovery? You know, if you don't believe you can change, it's not my job to talk you into it. It's my job to talk you through it, and to talk through that conversation of, you know, what is it that ultimately you want out of this, and how do you want to impact people, and how do you want to, whatever that thing might be. But the minute they self-limit, but it's the sadness, I think, of And you guys know I'm an optimist, but like the sadness of the human condition, you know, that we so opt out of our brilliance and we so opt out of our potential so often because we just believe things are a foregone conclusion. And that, you know, Kath used to, you know, talk about, remember that of those old commercials, the Relentless, I think it was Lexus or something. I'm not trying to give them a plug, but like the Relentless Pursuit of Perfection. And I'm like, yeah, I love that. And she's like, that's so frustrating, that statement. And I go, what do you mean by that? And she goes, well, nobody's perfect. And so the thing is that you should be just a relentless pursuit of growth. And I'm like, right. I don't know. I like the perfection part. Now, this was years ago. And I'm like, oh, Kath, you were so spot on with that. Because there is, once you're at this state of perfection, the fixed mindset, it just is fixed. And there you are. You're supposedly perfect at something. The truth is you never will be because you're not open to the ideas of growth and opportunity. And how do you get the 2.0, the 3.0, the 4.0 of that? And to me, that's the fun part about life. But I think to the point that you guys just made, which is brilliant, the triggers and the insecurities and all of this that we might find when we pull back the cover of who we really are today, there's a lot of work and a lot of therapeutic work sometimes for a lot of people and coaching work. And that's where I think the brilliance of bringing those two kind of, you know, ways of helping people, supporting people and whatnot are so important in the spirit of trying to understand one person. Because I think we've said it before, you know, it takes two people to understand one. That's another element of it all is that you not only have to do your work, but you also have to set up conditions around you to get feedback and to, hey, how am I showing up? Because no one will ever really know for sure how they're showing up in this world unless they get feedback. And we've talked about that before. But so it's, I think it's a great, Stu, it's such a good walk-in point that you made just then.
Well, I appreciate that. And what, both you guys hit this, and one last bow on top for this topic. But when it comes down to that concept of I am who I am, what's interesting to me is more often than not, I'm in dialogue with somebody that has that mindset that is coming to me to change, to grow, right? Mm. And it's like, I think back to you, I admire people, Chris, like you do, that are very firm in who they know and they believe. But what also has to be present is also an appreciation for the outcomes that they're producing in life. Meaning, right. I am good who I am. I love who I, this, how I view the world and how I embrace it. But I'm also happy with the outcomes of my effort. It's the ones that say I am who I am, but yet I'm miserable on all of these things. And those are the ones where getting them back centered. I think, Toby, you said it, to what is your role in this misery? What is your ownership? And that's where that self-discovery kind of journey begins for a lot. You know, the other thing that when I'm noodling on this, I keep coming back to is I also knew a lot of people in my life, men specifically, and unfortunately men over a certain age tend to find themselves in a place to where, because of not addressing life's curiosity or self for a long period of time, it just seems like there's so many layers to get started. Where do I start on this self journey? And I, you know, for True Path and for the podcast leading up to this one have all been very directional about this question, right? Where do I start? But I think for those people that are listening that maybe be at the end of their rope or are just sick and tired of being sick and tired and are curious about a purpose-driven life and an ideal self, where would they start? Like, you know, how do we start to peel back some of those layers? I'm curious what advice you'd give somebody if they were asking.
Hey, I'll take that. First of all, there's a good quote out there, Tobe. It's, there's a song by Satsang. I think that's how they go by, Satsang. It's called I Am, and they labeled it perfectly imperfect. And just that mentality, good. Right? Just being perfectly imperfect for that growth mindset. But Stu, to your point, your question there, man, you know, I think it's about getting feedback from the people that are most important to you, man. Like that's where I went, right? Like I had to start to get and really listen into it. You know, the people that really play a place in your life, like my wife, right? And really getting some feedback from her about who I, cause she was giving it to me all along. But I just wasn't really listening to it. And I was under the facade that I was this corporate executive and I was the breadwinner and I was doing right by my family and giving them things and creating this lifestyle for them. Like I had this whole story worked up in my head.
almost to the point where it was like destructive to the feedback she was giving me from a defense mechanism, because I was like, well, you're ungrateful. If you see me like that, then you're ungrateful and you're this and you're that. And it's like the whole time she's just trying to help me find myself a little bit, you know, and cause she saw that I was a little bit lost and my priorities weren't maybe where they needed to be and so on and so forth. So I think where do you start? One, who do you want to be? Like, who do you really want to be? Like, where are you currently in your life? Like, where are you? And being really honest and raw, you know, Tope's helped me out with, like, you're the only one that can really, really answer that question. Like, really answer that question and like going deep. Like, where are you? And then, like, where do you want to be? And that journey of going inward, you know, getting some feedback and perspective from the people that you care about, like, really, truly care about, and that you want in your life for the rest of your life. That's where I went. And that's where I continue to go. And I continue to get, you know, we say you shouldn't need validation or whatever, but we're human. And to continue to get that validation that I'm on track and I'm going the right way and I'm doing the things and my behaviors are where they are and my values are aligned and so on and so forth. Like, when I went through the value exercise, you know, I went out and I said, Joy, here are my four main values in my life. Like, are they matching up to how you see me? You know, and she's like, now, I don't think that would have been, you know,
6 months ago, maybe not,
you know, 4 or 5 years ago, definitely not. So, yeah, man, I think it's going inside and really answer that question. Who, where are you in your life versus, and then where do you want to be? Mm-hmm. And you got to answer that with like no restraint. Cause that's what caused me when you said, well, my life does not, that old gentleman in the Navy, his life was so designed for him. Yep. And we attribute that to the Navy or the Armed Forces, so on and so forth. But I think that happens to us.
Everywhere.
We get into a role and we get into a path and it's somewhat designed for us based on society and where you live and what people expect out of you and so on and so forth. So you have to answer that question with no barriers. Like, where do you really want to be? And then you get to work.
Well said.
Yeah. What about you, Bob?
Chris, that's great. You know, through the schooling and the mentorship and all of the psychological models that I've learned about and then worked through with teams and with leaders and with you guys, you know, that concept of EQ and emotional intelligence and self-awareness being, you know, of equal, certainly a huge importance of that model. And I think that I love it. It's where do you want to go and where are you today? I think it's those values. That's where I would probably want to lead people, is that what do you really truly know about what you value most? And where do those values come from in your life? And why are they so important to you? And, you know, I love the Joy conversation about, hey, are those showing up? But, you know, if your values had legs and they were, you know, in motion and you were honoring them, what would that look like? And that's part of it. You know, I think the other part too is that when you think about, you know, the EQ, the self-awareness, and then the, you know, the being aware of how you feel. And really being able to name those feelings. And then how do you manage those emotions and those feelings, if you will? Those two components of EQ are essential. So again, the awareness might be, you know, that I'm triggered by this, or I have values here, or I do, you know, share with some depth my emotional vulnerability, or I don't, and I'm more reserved. And I, you know, those are all just that, you know, that first step of making sure we're more aware of that. But the unpacking of that, to use a coaching term, that's where I think that, you know, that's the one step. And then the other step is, to Chris's point, where are we headed and how do we want to manifest this self-awareness and make it useful for us and ultimately live that purposeful, meaningful life in whatever roles we play. So to me, it's a culmination of a lot of things. And, you know, rather than having a 10-point list to roll out to you, that, you know, those are the couple areas I probably would start with. And we certainly do with our values exercising, and then just making sure people, certainly men, by the way, and I think women are catching up from my experience and what I've read about that, just being an understanding, why do I feel the way I feel? Like, what do I really feel here? Us men mask so many feelings on anger, and, It doesn't mean that you don't feel angry when you do, but most of us know how to compartmentalize that. And so, you know, does that really make you self-aware? It probably doesn't. You gotta be willing to, with some courage and some truth, to be able to say, am I really angry, or am I sad, or am I scared? And that's usually what I find. But again, just by saying that, who's really going to be invested in that? Who wants to spend the time getting dirty in that space? I think there's a lot of us that do. I think a lot of us will. And I also understand and appreciate those that get very apprehensive about that. Again, what's this about for you, and where do you want to take it?
Yeah, I mean, as somebody that's not ever struggled with where to start on that kind of journey of self and who am I, I think without a little direction, a little structure, that can get a little chaotic. And for me, there were four things I had to do. The first thing was, like you both said, I had to get honest feedback. Both of you were two people I went to right away. And, you know, and you were great at giving me very honest, direct, but incredibly supportive feedback. The feedback that hurts to hear it. And to realize it's true, but to be in the presence of safety with people that care about you. My wife was a phenomenal voice of honesty for me. My children, adult children, were honest. The feedback of my parents. But even beyond that, it was feedback about the interactions that I would have with people I didn't have deep relationships with. How would people walk away after interacting with me? And how was it what I intended? There was plenty of themes and signs all around me to get feedback from. The second thing was I had to, you know, really get very, very accountable to myself. And that was journaling. I had to get reflective. I had to take all of these thoughts and feelings and opinions and layers of stuff and put it in a place that didn't need to be organized. That just needed to be a reflection of that moment. And so dumping those things, I walked, you know, a ton. I would walk 4 or 5 miles, and all those thoughts that would come up, I couldn't wait to get back to dump them into a journal. Not that it would make any sense to anyone, but for me, it was offloading those layers and starting to get down to the root. You know, it was investing in a coach, Tobe. It was you, you know, a structured interaction that asked me questions that I needed to ask myself. It was a guide. You were a shepherd of curiosity. And when I wanted to attach emotion to where I was at, you allowed me to be less emotional about it, more perspective driven. And then lastly was just to continue to look to be vulnerable and open, you know, to not have all the answers, to not try to be the future self now, but to at least be curious about how to get there. And, you know, that to me was the formula. It was getting very grounded in who I was, getting organized, and then some personal self-efficacy around what was I thinking. And, you know, have you guys gone back to read your journal entries? I mean, there's something comical about, you know, I read 2 years ago, I was journaling, and I was, you know, a president of the company, and I was reading what I was journaling about, and I actually felt sad for that person and where their identity was tied and their value. And it was just, and again, just dumping those thoughts. So for me, it's like the best place to start. If you are feeling like this is a moment of change and you want to get, ask some people that you love and trust to help describe you or introduce you. Say, introduce me to myself. How would you do that? And there's going to be a lot of truth in that conversation, but that's kind of what I would suggest.
I love that, dude. I love the introduce yourself to somebody. Cause I think that's, that would be, I smiled when he said that, because I think, you know, a year ago I introduced myself. That would be comical to read right now.
It would be our job. That's the difference than maybe today. I think people would say Stuart the president, Stuart this, Stuart that, and my accomplishments. I don't know that someone would introduce me of the characteristics or the values that I know today, right? And that's hopefully part of the evolution.
Yeah, sorry, Stu. Again, our mindset regarding kind of how we hear that introduction is so, so, so critical, right? Can we listen to it in the spirit of it just is information about, you know, who we are in the eyes of others that we trust and love, which I think you've got to start with those people that'll tell you the truth, but they'll say it in a way that we can hear it. done out of love and respect and validation for us, but also just, you know, not holding back. And I know our significant others, every one of ours, and those are really good people to start with because they're going to shoot us straight. But in the spirit of that, though, how can we hear that? Because you guys know how we're really going to process that and take that in will have everything to do with whether we're ready to go on this road of self-discovery in the spirit of really with a growth mindset. An opportunity of learning. Because if we get into, well, that's not me, or I don't, oh, it's horrible to hear that, or we go down the road of what I'm not, or what I wished I was, but I, you know, that I'm getting feedback now that I'm not, it really is just not going to be a good setup for us. It'll be an exercise of just us continuing to go inward and then saying, well, let's just make it about everybody around us rather than me. So again, you know, a lot of people will sign up for it, and it'll really challenge the people to really be committed to it, to stick to it, because it really is the work.
Tob, it's almost like, I think you guys remember this, the old school hot seat. Growing up in the company that we grew up, there used to be this technique, leadership technique called the hot seat, which the way we would conduct it in the look in my offices was you had a pen and paper, you sat in the middle of a room, and you weren't allowed to say anything, and people gave you very direct feedback, and you had to write it down. 24 hours, you had to circle back with each of those people. And again, that's a work setting. Not, my wife would not do that, right? She wouldn't sign up for, all right, go sit in the middle of the room. Although my kids would probably love teeing off on me with no debate back. But yeah, to your point, I loved what you said. Are you mentally in a place to hear it, right? And really take it.
Yeah. Cause that's the danger. Because if you say you are, and then you get the feedback, and then you take, if you're not ready, you take it as almost an attack, right? Like I look back, and Joy's gonna kill me. She's like, so you say everything about us and our family and this, and it's like, oh, that's all I know, right? So, but you know, I look back at, you know, when just growing up in my career and trying to make a name for myself and trying to do everything right, trying to build a family and all the stuff, all the pressure and everything, and working on yourself at the same time and not losing yourself, right? Not losing your soul a little bit, which I say I maybe have did. And I said I was ready to work on myself, and Tob, you helped me with it, but yet I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And you know, I look back and, you know, those conversations that I had with Joy or even at work with my boss or whatever, when I would get that feedback, it would be like an attack. And yeah, but here I am saying, I want to work on myself and give it to me. And then to rebut that and rebuke that and to say, it just didn't make any sense. Cause I really wasn't ready to hear it. I just wasn't ready to hear it. I said I was ready to hear it and I said I wanted it. But I really wasn't ready to do the work, and it caused a lot. That caused. I look back at that time in my life, and it was stressful, man. It was a stressful time, and there was a lot of fights with probably Joy and I because I was being someone I didn't want, and I wasn't growth minded at all. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's some. If you're not ready to do it and go get it, then just be careful because it could backfire.
Well, you're right. Yeah, you're right. And it's that whole, those sharp corners, right? Like just how many people we work with and the leaders that, hey, I don't know why I impacted or got the feedback that I did or what that really bothers me. Or I've got these sharp corners that we continue to bump into that we can either pay attention and slow down and try to understand ourselves a little bit better on our behaviors and our beliefs about ourselves and what we do or don't know about us and how we act, overreact or underreact to certain things. And again, that complex puzzle of self. And we can just, to your point, Chris, you're going to keep bumping into, we get to see this as coaches, you're going to keep bumping into the same problems.
Exactly.
With different people sometimes, you know, as leaders of many different people. Well, why does that particular person bother you? Well, not even that person. Why does this type of behavior from these people bother you? And you guys know, you know what I'm talking about. Victim mentality. Oh, I hate the victim mentality. Why is that, do you think? Mm-hmm. And I was working with someone recently. I'm like, do you think you're a victim? And they're like, what are you talking about? So pissed at me. It's like, I can't believe you're saying that. Like, I can't say, I'm not a victim to anything. And I'm like, again, it's an interesting trigger for you here. You're definitely getting all fired up. Maybe we should, you know, maybe take some journaling to your point, Stu. One of those wonderful things to do. Why don't you unpack that? Like, what parts in your life maybe have you felt like a victim? And have you been a victim? And if you were telling the story on you, and again, this is all part of self-awareness and to take some steps backwards and some steps forwards, but it's the whole, you know, it's the whole self that we're talking about. And it's not, you know, people always get, well, if I do some self-discovery, then are you going to just be giving me therapy? And I said, well, we're going to go where we need to go, but you got to know how you got here, because a lot of that understanding of self does require that. And where would you like to go? And where are you, to Chris, to your point, and where are you today? It's kind of those three steps that would just as part of this whole thing. And it's just, again, I keep saying it's a lot of work, but in my opinion, it's so, I don't know what, energizing in some way, but really like confidence wise, like when I see the greatest leaders I've ever been around, they don't, you know, they know themselves quite well. They're not, you know, they'll make jokes on some things and they'll get insecure like every one of us would do, but they're just in more command with themselves, like their limitations with the opportunity to continue to grow through it, but they're also in command of what they're great at. You know, and so they will say, well, that's just who I am, on both the fronts of, like, you know, the confidence level of that's the way I am. Well, and that's, you know, again, doesn't say what I, and I'm willing to grow and to work through that. But there's a both positive side of that as well. And as much as there is a constructive side. So it's just I've had an experience recently with some people that are pretty well, you could tell they're doing the work and they're not perfect. But because of that work, boy, do they seem a lot more confident, and people are drawn to them because there's something about it that you guys totally know agree. This firsthand just gets you excited as a coach totally. Of somebody that's. Yeah, it's energy. Sorry, Stu.
No, it brings me back to, you know, when we think about kind of inner understanding self and inner mastery or inner landscape and really understanding who you are and where you are, there's a lot of awareness, I think, in corporate America of this being a skill or certainly a strength of good leaders, that they need to be self-aware. So what I find a lot in the coaching world is when I bring up self-awareness, to your point, Tobe, they go, oh yeah, yeah, very, I've read this book, I've read that book, you know, I've done all these things to really understand who I am. But I think understanding who you are is only part of the game, right? And realizing that I know a lot, and so do you guys know a lot of people that spend a tremendous amount of time in getting to understand who they are and what their inner workings are, but maybe lack the skill or the accountability to do much with it. I had a person working for me one time who, had a negative impact on their team and was constantly showing up that way. And I would meet with them and they could dissect where it came from and they could dissect why they show up that way. And they don't intend to, but it keeps happening. And so understanding that the first step is to really understand the core of that dysfunction or where some of those inoptu impacts that you're making. But that ability to then connect and be able to take your self-awareness and move it to a productive place of impact is such a unique skill. And I, you know, I see it all the time with young leaders coming up where they're very aware of where their deficits are, where their strengths are. But to go from awareness to actually application or growth is such a big jump. Any thoughts on that? I don't know if I set that up the right way, but I've seen so many of us be really good at knowing the back of the baseball card or the front of the baseball card, but yet not be able to take that leap to progress or moving forward. And they get stuck. Any thoughts there?
For me, it was just, I got stuck because like I was trying so hard to move ahead. And sometimes it was in conflict with who I was. And I didn't want anybody to know that, you know, because I felt like if I really was who I wanted to be or show up as my true self, that wasn't what the company needed, or that wasn't what my team needed, or that wasn't what my boss needed. So I'd go into hide and I wouldn't do it. So it's just that not being able to put into action was just out of fear of how it would be received, or that's not where society or where I'm supposed to be right now. Or, you know, there's a lot of those things that I put on myself versus just being true to myself and being okay with whatever
consequences were attached to it because it was a part of my values. It was part of who I wanted to be, and I wasn't going to apologize for it. Unapologetically me, you know, to like creating that type of, and that's what I see in great leaders too, Tobe, like just they're unapologetically them and they're who they are. And there's definitely not everybody likes it, but they're okay with that. So I think for me, Stu, I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for that because I needed to move up the corporate ladder and I needed to get that next position and that next bonus and so on and so forth. And there was a role that I played and there was only a certain willingness that I'd be able to change because of what I thought I interpreted was expected of me in those roles in my life. So that's what inhibited me from actually putting into, I mean, Tobe and I had a lot of conversations about where I came from and how I show up and why I take the ball and go home and all the other things. And, but it kept showing up. Kept showing up because I just couldn't put it into action because out of fear.
Got it. Tobe?
Yeah, I think that, Stu, for me, it's the and, right? I think we look so much at, you know, the wants and needs of others or the wants and needs of self. And I think if the spirit of really just putting the and in there instead of the or, and how do I take care and honor, as I said earlier, you know, honor and put in motion my values and honor them. But the taking care of my wants and needs and taking care of the wants and needs of others. And again, it's very, very difficult to do. You don't have enough time. Everybody's starved. You know, I don't have a spare minute. And some things have to, you know, you have to give up to get to find that wonderful balance. But it's in the spirit of, you know, the and. And if you can keep that up, in my opinion, then and you can prioritize that. And you make sure those around you do know that what you're up to in that space and get coaching through that, you're more likely than not to then, you know, have a better balance for yourself because we get so caught up in what this is about. And it isn't just about everyone else. It's about us as well. And how we bring us into the fold is so important.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that comes to mind, a word that comes to mind for me is martyrdom, right? When people become very self-aware, at least for when I did, there was this period of time of sharing who I was and what, you know, what I was all about and what, you know, who I was aiming to become. And that became a bit of a tactic in business, right? That vulnerability tactic of connecting and creating that connection with people and realizing that there's a potential risk of going out to the world and sharing, this is who I am and this is what I want. If in fact there isn't that action on the back end of really doing the work to get there. And what I say is, you know, people that have a leader that is dysfunctional at some level that maybe confronts inappropriately and says, that's just who I am, but I'm aware of it and I'll change and I'm going to do it. But yet the next time there's a confrontation, it lands the same way. And it's like, well, I'm self-aware. I just, you know, that's just, I'll fix it down the road. And it's that feeling of, you know, self-awareness or awareness is one thing tied to the action of development, tied to it back to Chris, your point of like, we're not all in that place to be able to do the work, but just be cautious. I think what I'm suggesting is as we get feedback and as we go out and get curious about all these layers of who we are, going out and sharing that becomes a bit of a scale of, are you doing the work, you know, and are you making the changes necessary to be the best version of yourself? And I've seen far too many leaders accept their dysfunction and identify it as awareness, but yet not put in the work to change it or evolve it or provide a better impact to the people that they're leading. And that's where I think self-awareness, when it becomes a bit like martyrdom of like, hey, I'm aware, but that's just kind of the way it is. And it's like, well, if you don't like that outcome, then there's got to be change there. Does that make sense? I don't know if that totally does. Right, but it does. I've seen far too many people say, well, I'm aware of that, but yet it's not working. You know, it's not having the impact.
Well, I think it goes to your tribe too, Stu. Like you two are in my corner, man, no matter what. And you were in my corner when I wasn't able to do the work. And that's where I said in the beginning of this podcast, like, Tobe, I feel bad that you were my coach at times because I couldn't do the work. I couldn't be who I wanted to be. You know, I just wasn't ready to make those decisions and have those kind of, but you guys have always, I mean, even before this call, right before we press record, you know, I let you know I'm struggling right now. You know, I just have a lot going on. Let's get through the, you know, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to put my best, but like you're two people that I can be my true self with now. You know who I want to be. You know, I'm willing to do the work. You give me feedback when I'm not showing up the way I wanted to be. Like I've shared that my goals and aspirations of who I want to be and what I want to get out of this life with, like you're two people, two men that I've done that with. And I think that's an important part of self-awareness is that you build your tribe around people that are going to support who and where you want to go. And you two are that for me. So I think that's important to not only do the work internally, but make sure that you're talking to people, the right people that are going to let you become who you want to be, you know, and continue to grow and see that growth mindset. And you guys have been that for me. So I just wanted to take that moment.
Thanks,
and brought
buddy.
Up the people that
Thanks,
you surround buddy. Yourself with, Tobe. And I'm blessed to be have you guys in my life to help me see who I want to be and achieve that true self. So appreciate you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
The gift to be on that journey with you, bud. Thanks for letting us.
Amen, brother. Well, All hey, right. you guys good? Any last comments or thoughts around this?
Yeah, the only thing I would just say as I open it up is, you know, when someone does talk to you about self-awareness, you know, I think that my suggestion to the audience would be just the answer to that question is I'm a work in progress. You know, it doesn't have an end, but it certainly does have a beginning. And I think just trying to be in a constant state of beginning with understanding who we are this month versus next year versus 2 years from now. That's the beauty of the human business, if you will, or the this journey that we're all on together is that we're going to continue to change and we'll either be active participants or we'll be just along for the ride. And I think that the latter is a lot more attractive in so many ways. So that's all I had to say on that is just a work in progress for sure.
Amen. Stu, you good?
Yeah, I'm great. No, thanks for the conversation today. And, you know, Tobe, to your point, the last point I was going to make is just, you know, I think once I surrendered, another word we like, when I surrendered to the fact that this was going to be a life's process, this was going to be a part of who I am, part of my identity is this curiosity and not viewing it as an event in these moments, but more of just the whole art of existence and existing actively. Understanding myself became a pillar to that. And that's why I think our connection is so deep, not just personally, but also this calling for true path and to go out and help people live authentically and have it all to a large extent, that success, but also that clarity inside, is just, there's no deeper calling. So a lot of where I am today is through a lot of trials and tribulations of guessing and trying and failing, but yet having the safety of friends and family to dust me off and get me back on the path. But this is a life event. This isn't just a moment. This is something that we'll be chipping away at for a long time. Great, That's great conversation. Work. Thank you.
Yeah, love it, man. Thanks, you guys. Well, hey, thank you for joining us today on The Path. Remember, every journey is unique and every step you take shapes that journey. Keep exploring. To Toby's point, stay curious and give yourself grace as you forge your path. Until next time, stay true to yourself and keep walking the path. Have a great day.